Welcome to Microsoft Dynamics NAV 2013 reporting session. It's about what is the new stuff we shipped in 2013. We have an expectation that people know a bit of reporting in 2009, at least on some of the development parts, but there'll also be some information on new features and what is available for usage. So the single greatest new feature we had inside 2013 is the Dataset Designer. In 2009, we shipped a hybrid report, as we call it, where we combined the old section-based reports, which then could make a dataset which you could render inside the RoleTailor client with an RDLC on top of it. But this hybrid model is, I'll say, it's hard to understand and hard to see where things comes from. So in 2013, there's no classic fallback, so we had to get rid of one of them. And it was definitely the old one, because we're going away from CSite, which was a two-tiered model. We went into a RoleTailor client, which is a three-tiered model. So what we did was that we removed the section reports and introduced a dataset designer to make datasets for the RDLC reports. And this is to lower the complexity of editing RDLC report. And it also clarifies what is the direction and where we want to go with reporting also. So the objects is definitely different from 2009 into 2013. We used to have data items. We do that as well also, but now we call them data sets. And under data sets, there's data items still. Data items is the one we tie to the tables. And the triggers that we had available on data items in 2009 is still the same. What is different is that the sections that we used to have, they consist of controls like text boxes, labels, and so forth. They now converted into columns placed under those data items. And if you come from a pure 2009 NAV reporting object, you probably had a lot of code on your section triggers as well also, because they were the one that influenced the layouts that you had in your section reports. So if you still have logic in your section triggers, you have to change your objects, because they are not supported in 2013. Right now in 2013, and also in the RTC reports inside 2009, is that the layout is generated inside the RDLC. So that's where you should do the things that you did inside your section triggers, where you did your visibility things and so forth. Request forms, they go out because there's no CSite runtime in 2013. We have request pages, and they are still supported. And the RDLC is, of course, as before. The change here is that it's now RDLC 2008 compared to 2005. And what you can see, design experience in the old one was here that we had the sections in the object designer, which then, when you did your view layout and went into Visual Studio, you got your data set there. You got a lot of fields that you didn't ask for, because they were relational fields like primary keys, data item, link references. There was a lot of things automatically bumped into the data set, which made data sets quite large and quite hard to understand, because many of the things was auto-generated also. So in 2013, there's a dedicated data set designer. And in the dedicated data designer, there's columns and there's labels. And labels I will come into later on also. But what you do here is that you can see your data set before you go into the Visual Studio parts, where you can then manipulate your layouts with the data set that you created. So this is how the data set design looks now. It's still as you know them, with the data items inside it, but now under a data item, there's indented columns. And I just want to promote a new feature we have here. So I'll just switch to the other machine here, which has the demos on it. So if we take a report, for instance, and you had the names on it, and you know a lot of the names in the old reports, they were auto-generated, which could make them hard to find them inside the layout afterwards and make sure that they were put the right place. So we made a feature, so if you rename things in the dataset, for instance, we have a customer number here. I would like that one to be number underscore customer instead of new. So, and now I do a save and a compile, and we can now go into the view into the layout of the report. And you can see here that my reference here where I had the number is now renamed into number underscore customer, and the same thing goes for the parameter. And the parameters we'll go into, because that's the new label system that we'll introduce you for later in the presentation also. But the thing here is that cleaning up a data set with ugly names, it's for the developer often easier, because what you have inside here is the source expressions you used to have under the text boxes. So right now you can see, this is this and this, and if it had an ugly auto-generated name, this one has already been sanitized for this release. But you can then go in and give it right names, and it will make sure that it fixes your RDLC files so they have the right name, so you don't have broken references. There's one comment here on it, is that when you do the rename refactoring, you should shut down Visual Studio, because Visual Studio is not that keen if we change the RDLC under the hood. So you should, All right, back to the presentation. So we changed the fundament for the reports in 2013 with Report Viewer 2010. We used to have 28. And that's where we had the shift to RDLC 2008, which gave us some new features. One of the features was the ability to save to Word. So we actually added in the CA language on report, save as Word. So now you're able to also persist your reports as Word files directly from AL code. 2008 RDLC also brings some new controls and gives you extra flexibility to do some of the stuff, where you have tab list controls, where you can do row groups, column groups. There's a lot of things that gives you new options to format your reports and do features on them. There's gorge controls, there's some new chart capabilities also, but there's a lot of other guides on the net where you can read more specifically what is the new features on RDLC 2008. So we don't want to get much more into that. There's one thing we also want to demo here, is that now on a text box, you used to only have one value in the text box. So if you go back to the demo machine here, go to this one. So if we go into the report layout, what you can see here is a big text box. In a text box, there was actually only one value before right now in the old version. But new version is actually expression-based, so you can have text placeholders inside this one. So you can actually add one placeholder, write some other text in the same text box, and create another placeholder, which also contains a value. Let's put in the value. This means that you can reference, instead of splitting up the layout, then you can actually have multi-injections inside the same text part. Let's go back to the other one. But this demo will show you how to take some HTML from a web server, and I want to embed it into an RDLC report, so you can have a common shared piece that you could actually add to all your reports. So what I have right now is on the local web server in this box, I have a file stored called campusdays.txt, and then I made a .NET component, which is the standard web client from .NET, and I download the string and store it on a global variable called web content. And do that in the pre-report. And the web content, I exposed that as a column inside the report, so it will be available on the report side. And over here you can see I have the expression, as we saw before. And this expression is now in the placeholder. So first of all, it's indexing directly into the dataset by doing first. First is an aggregate, gives you the first row in the dataset, and that gives you the dataset result. And what you see here is that if you take the properties on this one, it says that it's HTML, interpret HTML's tag as a style, which means that inside that text file there is some HTML with a CSS formatted around it, so it will be in a different color and different size. So let's try to run the report. And what you see here is that the HTML is now embedded in front of the table, and that means that you can actually have some shared pieces where people outside of NAV can actually inject some things in some of your reports if they were used inside the organization, or it could be to make a common header piece that you want on all your reports. I'll go back to the presentation here. Parameters. Premises is a new concept inside 2013. Inside 2009, we had labels, and labels had like in section reports, they had a relation to a column, or they were free bound. So either they had information from a table relation, or they had a caption ML on them. But in 2009 reports, we added the feature that you could actually have languages changing line by line or page by page, which means that all the captions had to go into the dataset. And if you look at about this report, which is a feature from 2009, extended here, I'll also get deeper into that one later. What you can see here is that per line in the dataset, there's a duplication of the captions, and that does take up memory. And to get rid of a lot of that up memory, because many of the captions does not change language by line by line, unless they are a document report or something else where it is needed to be changing line by line, we in 2013 added what we call parameters. And parameters is a one-time injection. So we can see here from the dataset designer in the view right now that customer no, there's a little ticker to the right. It says include caption, but you can only see the first I on it. But that means that inside the dataset, there'll now be a parameter called no underscore customer caption, and same for name, sales L2Y, and balance L2Y. And that means that inside the report, there'll be a one-time reference for that piece, so it will not be duplicated on all the lines. And if you in C-side, the section design had a reference for something that was not field-bound, you have a label designer now, and the label designer has a caption ML, and you can in here make caption MLs like if it was a text constant, and then they'll be injected as parameters into the report. And I'll give the word to Nikolai, who will present how to use the parameters inside NAV.
Can you hear me well? Okay. Good morning. So as Torben said, parameters are global objects within your RDLC scope. So you can refer it in any control, in reports body, in reports header, in the footer, and the value of this parameter is always the same. So it's kind of global, very efficient way to transfer captions to your RDLC. So you don't have to pollute your data set. And here you can see a syntax. So anywhere in your report, you can refer it through an expression, and you just prepend it as parameter exclamation. Then you mention the parameter you want to retrieve. So again, it's very economical way to transfer captions. Not through the data set, but directly through kind of global entity. So you should be careful. You need to know when parameters cannot be used, because essentially parameters are global and static. So they get their values after on pre-report or reporting needs a trigger, and then they never change. So if by some reason your code expects that parameters might change. For example, if you change the language dynamically, if you set global language to something different during your report execution, or you, by some strange reason, use it for grouping or from conditional visibility, it may happen for your legacy design, if you import some old design, then parameters are no-go for you. So you should be careful with this. Parameters are global and static, easy to transfer, but they never change. So if by some reason you need dynamics labels, so the only way to go is to include those labels in your data set. And you can refer from the data set any source expression. It can be, you can refer a text constant, it can be a field caption. And by the way, caption class is respected. So even if it changes during report execution. So parameters are static. If you need something dynamic, you should go through the data set. So just please remember this. Other new features in RDLC and Dynamics 2013. So you can do server-side printing. So server, Navision server in NAV 2013 is 64-bit application. So you can really print large reports. It's very huge data sets. And you can do it there is a new API which allows you to start background sessions. So you can schedule some report rendering in execution in the background session. Additionally, you can schedule this session on separate NAS. It's a separate servers instance, which is headless, has no client, and which can work somehow independently from your daily activity and doesn't block your users. And in addition, there's an API called Job Queue, so you can schedule your background session execution at certain date and time, or you can schedule it regularly, repeatable, recurring. And every time you do server-side printing, you printer selection is respected, yeah, as it says here. So what you should be careful about, so the server NST instance which is supposed to run background printing should run under domain user credentials which permit you to access the printer. For example, it should not be network service account. Normally network service account cannot print, cannot access remote resources. So there is a new system table which tracks session events. You can check this table and see what happens to your background session, whether it's still running, whether it's finished, whether it was aborted. And of course, server-side printing assumes no user interaction. So if your printer driver pops up some dialog which expects user input, so background printing will be stalled forever. For example, if you print to XPS or PDF, some drivers pop up file selection dialog, so you cannot do it for background printing, obviously. There's a new feature in Dynamics 2013. It's a web client, which somehow similar to SharePoint client. And yes, you can preview reports from this, provided you use Internet Explorer, the best browser for Microsoft. And you can also save, you can preview and save the report output as PDF. If by some reason you can't use Internet Explorer, so you still have an option to save your report in as PDF without previewing, which is also handy. If you, for example, if you access web client from non-Microsoft platform or some tablet or even iPad. Now I hand over to Torben again.
Yes.
Continue.
In 2009, we had a missing feature, and it was the tray selection. So the need for having a first page and a last page is it was missing in 2009. So in 2013, we added the new metadata value, so you can hard code a particular report to pick up the paper size you want. So if you want a first page with a particular logo on it, you can now program into the metadata part of it, so we'll always end on that one. Or you could on the last page put a zero to the bottom if that is what you need. But outside the metadata, we also made a dynamic version of the same thing, so you actually could make it location based. So in code unit 1, we added a new trigger on at the ID 75, where you can actually get access to the current print and influence what pages goes where. It's like the printer selection, how that one will work out. This is just for the paper trays instead. So we don't use it in W1, but it's some places it will be a need to have it, especially on multi-locations where they have different printers that has to go to different pages. Save as on request page. In R2, in a hotfix, we actually added the ability to persist the reports as PDF, respecting filters and option page, so that under the print button you got the little new arrow where you could do a save as PDF. And since we changed the report viewer to also support Word, we added Word and Excel under that one also. So instead of going directly for preview or go directly print, you can actually persist your files already and then send them off in a mail or whatever need you have. About the report was also there in 2009, but we added a new button in here called Export as XML. So about the report is for debugging purposes. That's when you are mostly when you're designing a report, you need to know what data set is actually feeded into the reporting machine. And what you see here is the view where you can see line by line what's happening in it. But sometimes it would be nice just to take it out of NAV and work with it. You could maybe give it to an SSS expert or send it for a Microsoft escalation engineer if you have some particular issue. But this button up here, you see export as XML, will actually make an ADO.NET compliant XML file with the content for the report. And I'll just make a short demo showing how to use it. And we actually don't ship the solution for doing the offline reports, but we ship the guide how to make an offline rendered report. So let's try to take the order confirmation, for instance, a document report. And we go into design on it and we do view layout because we need to get the RDLC file out of the solution. And if we go up here on the tab, we can say open containing folder. And in here, we have the RDLC file. So I will copy this one right now. for the desktop here. And on in the walkthroughs, there's a guide how to make the solution. Oh, sorry, need to run a different version on this one. Sorry, just give me 1 second here. This one has the wrong Visual Studio on this box. We'll just make a fresh Visual Studio solution. And we'll open. So this is just a simple little WinForms application that can take an RDLC file and it can take a data set. And it will do a rendering. So if you can see here, we open up the form. It just contains a simple report viewer. Let's try to run the application. So what you do in here is that you also open the folder where the project is inside it here, open containing folder. And now I'll dump the RDLC file that we got from inside NAV. And then I'll go in and run the report. So I'll do a run from in here, and then I'll just take one report at 101.005. And what I do in here is that I go up here to help to activate the about window we just showed before. If you activate it from the request page, you only have to do it once, one execution of the report. We don't persist the data set for a report unless it's really needed. So this is actually an activation for persisting the data set. So now we can go into preview mode of the report. And we can go up here to about the report. And we hit the export as XML, we save it, and we go for the desktop where we had the solution from before. We do a save, and we go back to Visual Studio. Let me say, need to make sure this one rebuilds, and we now run the solution again. So right now what you see in here is the same report as we just had inside NAV, and now I would like to do an out of NAV modification on it. So I open up the RDLC and now take a text box and place it here. I'll write hello campus days, we will save it and build it. And now we have a rendering outside of NAV, having made a change on it. So now we want to get this change back into NAV. So I take from the offline project that we have and copy the RDLC file. And the folder I opened before, this one, I can dump it back into this one and it will get picked up by NAV. If you close Visual Studio in between, this folder will disappear, but you can just do view layout once again and then the folder will appear again. And you can dump the RDLC file back again, go back to NAV, and say yes to importing it. You now save the file, run the report from inside NAV, do a preview, and you can now say, see that Hello Campus Days edited outside of NAV as back into NAV. So I'll give the word back to...
Okay, I continue from here.
One of the purposes is that to get it to the escalation engineers. Sometimes you have an issue with a data set and an RDLC in particular, and then it's actually a way, if you give us a data set file and you give us the RDLC file, we can repro it and we can investigate it for you. It could also be that you need to have an out-of-house SSRS expert who can make a report for you, and you can give him a little solution and he can work in it, and you don't have to give him access to your NAV database, for instance. So, and then he can deliver it back to you, and you can import it, and then you can take your changes back. So it is the ability from the partner level specifically to ask an outside expert to help you on doing some parts, maybe outsourcing it to someone, so we can give them RDLC files and datasets, and they can make the reports for you.
Okay, so we talk about some changes in designing reports for now 2013. So there is a nice feature which helps you to refresh the data set. So anytime you change something in your data set, for example, you rename fields or you add new fields, then you can easily refresh your data set in RDLC without closing Visual Studio. So you just have to save your changes in CSide and switch to Visual Studio, and Visual Studio will pop up your prompt, which will ask you whether you want to refresh, and then your data set will be refreshed. So you don't have to do it by hand. You don't have to resolve broken links, broken references. So it improves your productivity dramatically. The new nice feature in RDLC 2008 is that now, in this version, you can refer data set fields from page header and page footers. Before, it was not possible. So, and you had to use some different techniques, which sometimes were difficult to understand. So now, if you're... this is an example of source expression. So you see some text box in the page header, and yes, you can refer field, which is company name, and this field will be rendered. So page header and page footers assume that you have to refer some aggregated value. So it should be either the first element in your data set, the last element of your data set, or something else aggregated. But for brevity, you can just type fields, and it means first by default. So in this case, we take the very first, we take company name field from very first record in the data set and refer it in all page headers. So this is how it works. So it makes your page header design, page footer design much more easy to maintain. It's a very good feature. There are some situations when you should be careful about doing this. And first, it's if you want to show dynamic header or dynamic footers. It means that on different pages, you may want to show something different. For example, if you print several invoices, you want to show different customer names when it's applicable. So in this case, you cannot refer directly fields because if you refer, as I said before, you can refer only one field or one aggregate. So in this case, you cannot refer. So it applies to multiple document and also multiple languages. If you switch languages during your report execution, for example, for different documents, you use different languages. And also, if you need to retrieve some information about grouping, so unfortunately, page header and page footer still have no information about what is your grouping inside of the body. So you cannot expect that you can fetch some field which belongs to certain group or to current group and show it properly in the page header. So you should use different techniques, which we will talk about in the next slide. So for these dynamic headers, you should use set data, get data pattern, which has been introduced in NAV 2009, and this is the way to use it for dynamic. For dynamic footers, and for the rest, you can get rid of set data, get data, and refer the fields directly. But remember, those fields should be static. For example, it might be your company name, which never changes, so it's okay to take. But if it's your customer name, so it's probably changing, so you should still use set data, get data. There is another pattern to show company logo in our document reports, which you set picture, get picture pattern. So in most of cases, it can be replaced by a direct dataset reference provided your company logo doesn't depend on your customer, which is obviously the case. So in this case, you can just refer picture as the field, first field from your dataset, and enjoy that picture will be properly rendered. So new designer, so you design RDLC 2008 in Visual Studio 2010, and RDLC designer offers you, we believe, a better opportunity, better visibility. So when you, on the right, so what you see on the left, it's what was before in Visual Studio 2008. So if you want to check property of your group, so you should open property dialog. On the right, it's what you can do in 2010, Visual Studio 2010, you can see underneath information, grouping information about your current tablets. For example, here there is a table selected and you can see what are row groups. On the right is column groups. So if you build matrix report, you can also group by columns. But typically we group by rows, and you can easily see what is your group. The right arrow shows that you should enable advanced view. So with the help of advanced view, you see not only groups, but also statics associated with this group. What is static? It might be group header, group footer, it might be totaling field, and might be page header, table header, table footer. So you can observe them and also check their properties. So now on, if you develop reports in Visual Studio 2010, we recommend you to look at this group view underneath and always enable advanced view. So you see, you really very good visibility over your groups. So you have also more possibilities in RDLC 2008, how to control pagination, because if you have a document report, you want to place certain page breaks in the right positions. So first, there is a tablix property, so you can always say, I want page break before this tablix is rendered or after. And also there is a feature for group, you can say, it's the next screen, so you can put page breaks between after each group invocation, or also at the end of last group and the beginning of the start group, first group. For example, if you print several invoices, so probably you group by customer number. So you want to have a page break when you switch to next customer. So you can easily achieve this by editing this group page break options. If you are really advanced and you really want to, you have very unusual pagination requirements, you can also influence pagination from CIL, not directly, but for example, you can introduce integer counters and make this counter value part of your data set. And in RDLC, you can group by the value of the counter. And then as soon as you have the group, you can control the pagination. So this way, for example, if you print simple list report, you can say, I don't want more than 10 rows per page. Then you introduce a row, a group counter, and group by the counter, and you chop your report really 10 rows, page break, 10 rows, page break. But it's so the message is that you have more possibilities for controlling pagination, because we know that it's important for the vision user, nav users, because they tend to print certain reports. I go back to Torben. Thanks.
So, in the beginning, is the sound on? That's sound on. In the beginning, we said that we are changing the report objects in NAV 2013, and indeed, we are also having to have a path for doing that. So we are making an automated tool, so you should be able to upgrade your investments. So if you made RDLC reports in 2009, you'll be able to get them into 2013 with a little effort. But if you're coming from C-side reports, where you don't have any RDLC in it, you of course still have some work ahead of you. We had the classic fallback to give people the a full release to get ahead on some of the RDLC reports. But if you want to know, this is actually something we shipped earlier. I just want to promote it once again. That we shipped two hotfixes, one for 5.0 and one for 2009, where you can actually get a Code Unit 1 trigger. And the Code Unit 1 trigger will give you the option to log what reports you're actually using. Because we found out that many people actually have reports they created for getting something out of it once. And then afterwards, when they come to an upgrade situation, they actually having a hard clue figuring out which reports are we actually using and which are we not using. So we added the Code Unit 1 trigger with the ID 120, where you can do on report 1, and you can then log what reports you are using. But there's also a blog post about this one. So the real upgrade. I just mentioned in the beginning that we are changing a lot of the things on it. We are removing parts and we are changing them into other parts. And this transition is an automatic upgrade. And in the next many slides, we'll actually try to show you how the various objects get into the new version. But the thing is, the layout parts, if you did your RDLC layout parts, it will almost be 100% just upgrade on the layout parts. But there's a few things that has changed between 2005 and 2008, but Nikolai will go into tell more about those later. The dataset part is 100% just update, so that should give you the dataset that you had inside your old style report, just inside new designer. So what happens during upgrade? I mentioned it briefly before, but I'll just take it step by step here. So on the sections, they disappear, but the section contains the information for the dataset. So text boxes is going to be columns, and we definitely delete the triggers. So if you have any code in there that was needed to get the layout, you have to redo that inside your RDLC reports. And all the free columns I talked about earlier, the one with the, all the relational fields that gets available and keys between tables, things that is used to do groupings and stuff like that, they were added because the transformation tool needed them, and they were not available just from text boxes in many cases. So all these things will now be put in as columns, and then you can delete them if you don't need them. But in the future, you will not get any free columns. So if you make a new data set and you place two data items under each other, you need the grouping key, you'll have to add the grouping key inside inside your report, data set designer. Labels, we changed those to be line-by-line labels. So we didn't change them into being parameters, because many of the reports has the need to change page by page or line by line. And since we don't know upfront, unless we do an eye analysis, it's hard to know if it's actually going to shift the language or not. We decided that all converted labels will be a text constant and then a column reference to it. Caption classes, which is actually a runtime feature that was not available inside AL before, it's made into an AL function now. So we actually made a Codeine 1 assess a function called caption class translate. That means that if you have to translate a dimension field and get the right caption out of it, you can now do that in an expression part but inside the report, but also outside of the report, because it's now an AL function called caption class translate, which will give you access to Codeine 1. If you come with a pure 2009 object without any RDLC, it will still give you the layout suggestion that we had in 2009. It has not been advanced since last time. It will do the same layout as you would get if you had do the stuff inside 2009. But because it now is a requirement, there must be an RDLC inside a report because there's no fallback anymore. So this one, next two slides will explain the steps. So if you have a hybrid report, how do you get it into a 2013 report? So first of all, a report must be compilable before you can do any upgrade on it. So, but Nikolai is going to tell some of the steps how to make a 2009 application compilable in 2013 to make sure that we can get to this step. Then you go in and you select tools, upgrade reports from your menu items. And then it will do the trick for you. It will remove the sections and so forth and create a data set, and it will update your RDLC into 2008. After that, you have to save and compile your report before it's runnable. Processing only reports also need to be upgraded. In the old 2009 reports, there was actually also sections inside a processing only report. They will not be persisted in the new processing only reports. There cannot be columns on a processing only report. So when you get it in here, if you had any layout hidden inside your processing only reports, it will be deleted. So, but I think it's probably because people have changed them during some time and not done cleanup. That's how we saw it, at least when we did the upgrade tool. But again, after you did your upgrade from tools and upgrade reports, you'll have to compile your objects to be runnable. If you come with the classic one, you must remember one thing here is that we don't ship any form transformation tool in 2013. So if you only had request forms on your reports, you would have to go to your 2009 version and do the form transformation into page. We don't give you any page transformation in 2013. It's not shipped. So the classic upgrade here will actually go in and delete the request form, and it will do the upgrade as you got for the hybrid one, and it will give you a layout suggestion and a blank a request page. If so, the request page is not touched during the upgrade, so you have to create that outside of 2013. And again, compile the report to get to it. And now Nikolai will tell us about some of the steps on how to make the objects compilable.
Yeah. So we dive in a bit more details when to address certain situation. For example, you have your own solution, your vertical solution, whatever, and you customized the reports you received from Microsoft in maybe now 2009 on 2009 R2. So you need to bring your solution to make it work on now 2013. So we suggest you the following steps. So step one, first of all, as Torben said, you cannot design an NAV 2009 report in NAV 13 until you upgrade. And you cannot upgrade until you can compile it NAV 2013. So then your task of upgrading your customized report should be split in two steps. So first you should take your report as it was in NAV 2009 and make it possible to import it in NAV 2013 database and make it compile. So this is a very important step. And then step two comes when you can really merge your customization with the recent results which were released by us in NAV 2013. And so then you make your customized solution upgraded to NAV 2013. So let's talk about step one. So you start with NAV 2009 client, classic client, when you have your report, which is works, everything is okay. So you delete data ports and forms because they're not supported anymore, and you export your objects, in particular your reports, in the text format. And then you take a text format upgrade transformation tool. It's a standalone tool which changes your CIL code to make it to remove it makes it compatible, makes your CIL code compatible with 2013. So it removes forms, change references, all references to forms to pages. It deletes request forms from the reports, but keeps request pages and so on. So it makes it possible to import your objects in Navision 2013 database. You create empty database and import your stuff in there. Then you should make sure that all your objects, in particular all your reports, can be compiled in NAV 2013 database. So you should make them compilable. It might be some minor compilation issues, for example, some links broken. So you should fix them. And at the end, you run upgrade on the reports you imported from 2009. This concludes the step one. And then you have a situation when you can reconcile your own customization, which you made for 2009, and with the recent changes delivered by Microsoft, because now your report is on the same level as what Microsoft delivered in 2013. So both of them are compilable in 2013, so the structure of the report is similar. So now it's good time to perform step two to make a merge. So in some situation, you can even use a three-way text merge tool to see the difference introduced by Microsoft versus difference you inherited from your customized solution in order to produce the version on the right, which contains your customization with our recent deliverable. So we think this is the most reasonable way to upgrade your solution, and we encourage you to think about these two-steps way when you upgrade your solution and you want to make it work in 2013. After upgrading, there are some necessary steps, mandatory steps. So set data, we will talk about set data a bit later, but in NAV 2009, set data normally appears in value part of text box or whatever control you use. So you need to move it to visibility expression and make sure set data function returns true, which makes your control invisible, because you should do it because rendering behavior of a rendering machine in RDLC 2008 is different than before. Also, upgrade to RDLC 2008 from RDLC 2005 may create some subtle changes in your layout. So you should check the layout and probably adjust a bit positions, widths, margins, whatever. And actually, we've seen some very strange reports when people use global variables in RDLC, which were subsequently used for aggregation. So we encourage to refactor this because it won't work as expected in RDLC 2008. You should not expect that aggregation. So we encourage you to use embedded aggregation functions like sum, average, max, mean, first, last, or perform your aggregation on CIL part. So, because in principle, RDLC 2008 rendering is, non-deterministic. So you cannot expect certain order when your global variable will be updated and how many times this update will be. So it's a poor practice, so we encourage you not to use global variables for aggregation whatsoever. There are things nice to do, so you can do some performance optimization, for example. The reports in 2009 were data set for the reports in 2009 were automatically generated from the section design. So it happens that the same value appears in more than one column. So you have duplicates column which refer the same expression. So it's recommended to check this and to remove those unnecessary duplicated columns because it bloats your data set. So stop using CIL page number and user ID because RDLC has globals, which gives you this information, user ID and page number. Yeah, as I said, remove unused colons, remove duplicate colons, and benefit from the new feature of RDLC 2008. Use, refer directly certain fields from your page header or page footer if it's static, like company information, company logon. And if you can't, use set data, get data. Also, nice things to have is to optimize your data set. So, for example, if certain rows are not supposed to be rendered, so only their aggregates should be rendered, so you can use skip in your on after-get record logic, and this will also slim down your data set even further, so your report will run faster. And also, you can probably apply certain UI guidelines, which makes your report look nice and uniform, consistent. So actually, Microsoft published our own UX guidelines, so you can find them in partner source on MSDN, and you can use it as a starting point for your for creating your UX guideline. Maybe you can just take ours, because it's not bad. RDLC 2008 offers new controls. Charts, matrix controls, so you can enrich your reports very much if you look at them. So just check MSDN information. There's nothing specific for Navision, but reporting framework gives you much more advanced controls and features. Something about create total. So this CL function is somehow deprecated. So we encourage you stop using it in your record. So right now it has no effect on fields. And still works on global variables, but it works in a bit confusing way. So we suggest you to revise any appearance of create totals in your report and hopefully get rid of it. Because you can aggregate in RDLC if you want, or you can aggregate in CL, but explicitly, just row per row if you want. So we made our part about cleaning our reports. So we cleaned data set for 788 reports. We shipped with SNAF 2013 for different countries. And also we applied our UX guidelines to high priority document reports, like altogether 228 reports. So if you open our database, you will see that reports look much better. So some reports use charts. And you see fonts and margins are very, very, very consistent, very nice looking. So we use different backgrounds. So our reports look much better than before. So some of them at least. So this is actually pretty much end of our presentation. So we have some kind of demo which we can show you several steps how to create a non-nonsense, non-trivial document report in small steps. So that's the message. So the main idea of this demo that you should build your report in small increments and tackle every problem or add new functionality in small pieces step by step, and then you can really create very rich, very complex document report and with less stress and with less stress, so to say. So we have time. Okay, so imagine that we have to create a document report, kind of invoice or order confirmation, which will print something for different customers and which will have dynamic page headers. So we want to render some information as page headers, like customer information, number of copy. So how to start? So we try to guide you through this report. So let's say I start. So I create report, and what I want, so I want to print first sales header, and for every sales document I want to be able to print several copies, the original invoice and one or two or more copies. So that's why we introduce a data item for sales header, basically order number and customer information, and also introduce a loop which gives you numbers, so how many copies you want to render. And we take just few, yeah, the loop, and we created a request page. So request page contains just one field when you can say how many copies I want to print. So we start with very simple layout in Visual Studio. So you can see here, by the way, so I enable advanced view. So we see here report body and the page header. So first step probably is we need to make sure that page header and page footer machinery works, because it needs to work all the time. So we start with this. So I want to show here information which will show customer information and number of the copy. So this information is dynamic, so remember our previous slides. So we cannot take it directly from the data set, because for every order it's different. It's different customer, different numbers, different copy. So we need to use something, some unusual approach. So we create an invisible control in the body. And first we create a list document which groups. So you can see, you can easily see grouping for this list. So we group our data set by sales header number and copy. So for every document invocation, we have one this block, which is reserved for this document instance. And at the beginning of this block, we put invisible control, where we refer document caption and sales header. Document caption is created dynamically in CL part. So let's see what we get. So let's run this report. So let's say we want to print two copies, one original, one copy, then render it in PDF. So you see the header seems to work. So it shows order confirmation and order number, and on the next page it's a different document, a copy, the same order. Then we go down, it's next order 2009, copy 2000, and so on. So it seems to work. Let's see next step. So we want to make sure that this header story works well on multiple pages. If you have a large document, for example, you have a very big invoice which has many lines and you need several pages to print it. So let's see. Oh, okay. Let's see how it works. It's the next version. Imagine I to simulate large content, I put this very big green rectangle in the my body. So imagine that it's many, many lines, lots of stuff you want to print for every single document. And let's see how this works. So I try to run it again. It's my second iteration. Still, I want to print one copy. So you see this body, and so it spans more on one page, and yet we have a problem on the second page. So this document has two pages, and second page has problem with the header. And I know why, because we did not use set data get data pattern. We were too naive to implement, so we have to introduce set data get data. It's my next version. So iteration number 3, I'll show you how set data get data works. So still we have invisible control here, which holds information about what we want to show in the header, and we put this expression in visibility control. So we call a function set data, and we take necessary fields, we connect them in one to create a, and this so this we call it set data. It's the first step of the set data pattern. So what this should be taken, because these fields depend on your current grouping, so it carries information which is relevant to your current group, so what you want to show in the header. And in the header we call getData. GetData, and so we take what was delivered here and we show it here. And what is setData, getData? It's two functions written VBS, which store. So look, we create a shared variables which will hold this information, and setData memorize this, and getData pick it up. So this is essentially a pattern, setData, getData. Every time you need a dynamic content in page header or page footer, you can use this pattern. So let's see whether it works. I hope it works. So number three. So same document. Again, I want to copy. Let's see pages. So this is first order, 11105. Second page is still okay. It's a copy. So you see the order, the header. Oh, I'm sorry. The header information is dynamic and it's correct, and it's correct on every page. So we achieved a very important milestone. So our header machinery works. Set data, get data works. So that's fine. So next step, probably we want to show some lines, right? The order normally contains lines. This is my version number 4. So I extend my data set. So I added lines. So it's a nested, you see, nested fields here. So I had lots of information about lines, and then my layout now looks like so you still see this. You can always, it's very good idea to look at document outlines. So we have in the report body we have a list which is big block per document, and inside we added new table. So this table will show lines which are applicable to the current order, current customer, because you see it's nested in the list. So and yeah, so you can add and also we added static content. So we added, you see this static part, so this is the rows of the with the lines, and this static control is a table header, and this static control underneath, just one moment. And this guy shows totals, because we want to show totals for all lines. Total quantity, total sum of unit price, sum of amount, for example. Yeah. So let's see how it works now. Again, I want one original, one copy. So print as PDF. So now the header still works. So we have lines and we have totals here. So this order happens to have just one line. So let's see. This is a copy, still works, page header works. So this is another order, we have two lines, and this is an aggregate. So you see, the copy is okay. This is another, this order has three lines. Still, we have totals. So this is already useful sales document, right? So it contains information your customers wants to see. Let's see next version. So we want to add. We want to see customer address, because we want to show lines, and underneath we want to render customer information: ship to address, customer name, customer address. So this is version number 5. So what we have here? So we had lines, and I add here customer information, and see, these two data items are on the same level. So it means we have we create the data set will be union of lines, rows with lines information, and rows with the customer information. So our data set will be a bit more complex, and with regard to the layout, so we add customer information. We add additional table which will render customer information. So you see we have header and we have lines, and after lines we want to show customer information for every order. So let's see how it works. I have time. Okay. So the header works, but we have some problems in line state. We have some empty rows, and also customer info table has empty rows because the data set, you know, the data set has double amount of lines. So for every document, we have lines with, we have rows with line information, no customer information, and then rows without line information, but with the customer information. So the obvious way, we need to filter. We want to get rid of irrelevant lines. So how we do this? We do it in my next version, number 6. So the data set is the same, layout is almost the same. So, but for this table, I introduce filtering. So when I show lines, I won't consider the rows which has line number non-empty. Because if there is no line number, it means this row in the data set doesn't have any line information. I want to skip them. And for the customer info, I also apply a filter. But instead of lines, I want to consider only those rows which have customer number non-empty, because these rows contain information about the customers. And let's see how it helps. Let's run this report. Again, copies. So now we see, so the lines table contains only lines and their totals, and customer info looks good. It shows only customer related information. So we have quite nice sales document, which has dynamic header and which has several nested tables. And copies works. So we started with very simple, we ended with a bit more advanced and sophisticated. So I go shortly to this. Maybe I say a few words about it. So the message is like you see this small boy here. So when you build a complex report, do it in small steps, do it in small increments, and address every problem or add a new feature, just single feature in a step. And then you can probably achieve reasonable results in reasonably short time. So don't try to create very big data set which contains everything and then start working on the very big layout which shows everything. So it's the wrong way. So if you do it piece by piece, so you have no stress and you can achieve your report needs in a reasonable way. Thank you very much.
Yes. There's also a lot of resources online, so there's a lot of readiness material, there's training material, there's some links you can find in the presentation here afterwards, and there should be a lot of guides and walkthroughs to get to some of the new things and how we suggest some of the things is done. And before we get to the question and the answers, I just noticed that I forgot to tell who we are. So, first of all, introducing myself, my name is Torben Vind Meyerhoff, and I'm a developer in the server and reporting team, working mostly on the platform part. So, I've been working with the designer and the runtime and all these things, and this is Nikolaj Belofastov. He's a developer in also in server and reporting now also, but he has a background doing application reports also, so he has a lot of knowledge about how to build the reports and what problems can appear if you're developing on the reports. So, so questions. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Asking the question: when is it better to use the query object? In 2013, we didn't manage to actually get query as a data source on data items. There's several reasons for that one, but you can actually do it by just having an integer instead. So if you have an integer inside a report, you can easily have, like if you do it on temporary tables today in the old style of reports, you can have an integer to loop inside it. So what you can do is make an integer data item, make a query as a global variable, and then you know, after get record, control the query, and then make the access to the fields inside the query. Query is a really fast object, and if you have a query that has the information, I will definitely recommend to use that as a data fundament inside a report. So queries is SQL based and it's non-trigger based, of course. That's also why it's so fast also. So definitely use queries in your reports if you can do it.
Reservations at query is static, so you cannot provide options to your query, but you can provide filters, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you have some options which should control your query behavior, you can't. Then you should stick to classic data set or typical data set in the report.
Any other questions?
We can take one more.
All right, you're also welcome to come and ask us afterwards. We'll be at the Ask the Expert booth afterwards, so you can come and ask questions there if they're more related to one of the things that you might be struggling with. And we should be asked to ask all of you to evaluate sessions, and this is the link to go evaluate it. You can also go for session 81 afterwards if you don't want to do it from in here. So, see you in the Ask the Experts afterwards if you have more questions.